We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
Sun descends on Friday night, a stillness fills the air. I see a Jew who seems so distant standing very near. He's passed this way before, he might just live next door, but somehow he's someone we've ignored. He watches as we walk to shul, our hearts so full of love.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a great show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we'll be featuring an interview with Rabbis Shmuley Avtson and Eli Tauger. There's a new volume of Likutei Sichas in English, which has come out. These are collected works of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, taken from the 39 volumes, and I'm assuming it's volume one, we'll find out. And it's been translated into English in a wonderfully beautiful volume. Yes, this is great, folks. The portion of the week is the portion of Lech Lecha, which can be found in Genesis 12. We've got lots of wonderful music throughout the show for you, various and sundry kinds. A great Hasidic story at the end. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Two bombs were thrown at Rachel's tomb in Bethlehem, causing damage to several vehicles. Police are searching the area for terrorists who threw the bombs. No injuries were reported. For the second time in 2 months, Israeli consulates are on strike. Israeli diplomats walked off the job last Wednesday in protest over a new tax structure imposed by Israel's finance ministry. Belgium's first female prime minister is Jewish. Sophie Wilms replaced Charles Michel after Michel moved to an EU position. The centrist politician will lead a caretaker government during negotiations on the formation of a coalition, which in Belgium could take months. German Chancellor Angela Merkel was honored by the World Jewish Congress for her role in fighting anti-Semitism. The annual Theodor Herzl Prize recognizes individuals who present Herzl's commitment to building a safer, more tolerant world for Jews. The U.S. Senate launched a bipartisan task force for combating anti-Semitism. The mission of the task force is to collaborate with law enforcement, federal agencies, state and local governments, educators, advocates, clergy, and other stakeholders to combat anti-Semitism. Go, Senate. And finally, swastikas were found painted inside a tunnel in a West Bloomfield, Michigan park. Police are investigating. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in a growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online Rabbi Eli Tauger, who is a translator of a recent volume of Likutei Sichas. These are collected talks of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, which originally printed in Yiddish or Hebrew, or a mixture of both, now out in English. How are you today, Eli?
Thank God.
Good to hear. We're really glad you were able to take some time and talk to us today. Okay, so describe the scene of a Verbrengen, which was a Hasidic gathering, which the Rebbe would, for all intents and purposes, teach people.
First of all, it was not only a time of teaching. When a person gives a lecture, He's standing trying to convey an idea. Here, the Rebbe was conveying an experience. It was Matan Torah. The truth is, that's every time a Talmid Chacham speaks.
If you could use English words only, please.
Okay, sure. It was just like Mount Sinai. Anytime a Torah scholar imparts a lesson to his audience, it says, and whatever an experienced sage teaches was given at Mount Sinai. But when that spoke, you had a conscious experience that we're going back to Sinai. Here are words of Torah, live, real, from this moment, that happened at this moment. It wasn't only that the environment was set for that. I've got thousands of people in the room focused only on the Rebbe. He came in with an aura. When you were in his presence, you felt, oh, this is Shechina. This is divine presence speaking from his throat. As it says, the divine presence spoke from Moshe's throat. Again, that's true of every Talmid Chacham, but we felt it.
Okay, so that sounds very, it's like a very powerful medium for conveying of ideas. So so the Rebbe would talk, and ideas would be conveyed. And so then what happened after, like, say, after the Verbrengen?
Well, Verbrengen took between 2.5 to 4 hours, sometimes the longer Verbrengens were 6 hours. Most of the Verbrengens were given on Shabbos. There were weekday Verbrengens from time to time, but mostly Shabbos and Yom Tov. And here was a very special thing. We had a couple of people, Rav Yoel Kahn in particular, who were focused on the Rebbe's words. They would go home right after Verbrengen to review that with a group of rollers, a couple of students. Then at night, Rav Yoel would sit with 20, 30 students, and he would repeat the words, basically, those 2.5 hours of the speech, he would go over more or less by heart. Phenomenal ability.
So he had an autographic memory.
Yeah, a photographic memory, or if he's carrying a photographic memory, if you follow what I mean.
Yes.
And from there, people then start to write it down. So that, those were given over mostly what we call hanachos, transcripts.
And those are basically just edited transcripts of what the people heard, and we assume they had a certain authority because of the nature of the abilities of people to remember what the Rebbe said.
Right. I mean, as you said, they weren't just any person just giving his recollection. These were specific people who had specific abilities, but the Rebbe didn't edit them. Then, at several different points, the Rebbe put out what's called Mekutei Shichos. In other words, they would take a select group of scribes, would take these talks, which were these transcripts, fuse 2 or 3 of them together at times, and take other teachings which the Rebbe had given in letters on previous his talks, bring out, make it not only a speech, per se, an address, but an intellectual composition. He was still dealing with the pasuk. He was still dealing with the Gemara. It wasn't an encyclopedic treatment of a subject, but it was formed as an article, a written piece, as opposed to a spoken word.
Mm-hmm. And that, those were edited by the Rebbe. The Rebbe did review those.
Yeah, and those were edited by the Rebbe. Went back and forth. Forth between the scribes and the Rebbe two or three times, and the Rebbe would make his own comments, change, fix. We had an art experience too. He would sometimes rip up the whole order, start all over again. Sometimes he would just let it out as it was. It was a very interesting process each week. How much he put into it, how much effort he put in actually editing the text.
Okay. So then those would come out weekly as, say, like a pamphlet for the portion of the week.
Yeah.
Like we talk every week on the Jewish Hour here, we give a little insight into the portion of the week. And I'm going to divulge a little secret is that many of those insights are actually taken from the collected works of those pamphlets, and I can just take the idea out and I say it in 5 minutes, whereas it's usually a whole lot more than I'm not saying than I am saying to get it into 5 minutes, but because of time constraints. Okay, so then we have these little pamphlets, and then eventually, after a certain number of pamphlets were printed, they bound them and put them into books.
Correct.
Okay, so
that we have... further editing process, but nothing serious.
Uh-huh. Okay, so now, sometime, you can remind me of the year. I think maybe it was 1978. It was suddenly realized that there are a whole lot of people that are really interested in knowing what the Rebbe was saying, but there was a massive barrier because the Rebbe only spoke in Yiddish publicly, and these collected works were therefore transcribed into at first Yiddish, and then later on it was done into Hebrew, but you still have this is America, and America people speak English. You still had an English only speaking.
Speak English, think English.
Indeed. And
you know, it's an important, it's not only a language barrier, it's also a whole process of thinking. The Rebbe spoke very much like a Torah scholar. Your average American Jew thinks like a modern American person.
Mm-hmm.
So not only was it a language construct that we're bridging, we're talking about transforming a mindset, speaking a Torah thought in American speech.
Okay, I was going to ask you, Ellie, about this actually. This is segueing into the next thing. Translating is very hard. I can explain. I think I'm pretty decent at explaining. But for me to sit down and to come up with a translation, I know what the words mean, and I can translate when it says, Vayidaber, and he said. I can do that. But in trying to convey something which is readable, I've tried several times, and just like after I got done, I finished it, I did it, and then looked it over and realized that it was horrible. It was not a translation. I remember some of the early attempts by various individuals before Sichas in English at trying to translate. It just doesn't work. So how was it that Sichas in English, which is this idea of taking the Rebbe's talk and conveying them to the English-speaking world, come about? And how was your participation with it?
I'll tell you two stories. One story, my first interaction with Aryeh Kaplan Olav Shalom, tremendous writer and translator, not Lubavitch. He had a connection with Lubavitch, but not Lubavitch himself. I was working with Mizrayim, this was before I started my Rambam translation, and he was their writer. He did the Mamleis, which actually had the Sus to finish. So the people in Mizraim told me, look, they don't even speak English. They're a major English publishing house, and yet they don't speak English. The actual directors don't barely speak English. So take your work to Aryeh Kaplan. So Aryeh Kaplan looks over him and he says, well, you've got a certain skill with the English language, but this piece doesn't read. Hey, you're a Lubavitcher, aren't you? Yeah. Well, would you say this? If you were trying to speak it in Lubavitch common sense for college students, would you say it the way you wrote it? He says, no, I'd write it straight. I'd say it straight, you know, like a person talking to a friend. He says, so write it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, that just changed the whole thing. But up until that time, Jewish translating was very much trying to sound as fancy and as educated as possible. He says, say what you mean. Talk it out. That was lesson number one. Fundamental lesson. Lesson number two, I got from one of my editors. He also passed away, David Grossman, all of the show, and the song. David was a brilliant guy. I showed him my work. He says, yeah, this is good. But you know, Ellie, I don't understand this. I said, David, it's so simple. I said, Ellie, I don't understand it. David, it's straightforward. Ellie, listen. We got to work it over. And I said, what do you mean about work over? He says, listen, I may not be as smart as you are, probably the smarter, but I may not be as smart as you are, but I'm not stupid. I'm at least as intelligent as 90% of the users. If I don't understand it, it means others won't either. We've got to work it over so it goes out of your subjectivity in a more objective form that everybody will understand. I stopped fighting with my editors at that time and started, and from that time on, I started to listen. I was, the project, this project isn't mine. We have five people and more working over every article, every sikha. Because by bouncing back and forth, getting this guy's input, that guy's input, it becomes readable to people at large. It's not just my, like you said, my talk over the idea. You take it from your own subjective perspective and communicate it to, in a way which a reader, any reader, can understand, not only people who think like you do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's understood. Our guest today is Rabbi Eli Tauger. He has recently worked on translating Volume 1 of Likutei Sichos, sections of Likutei Sichos, Talks of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. It is published by Sichos in English, Kahat Publishing, available at kahatonline.com, wherever you find Jewish books. So what always seems to impress me in translating is usually it's from Hebrew to English, and Hebrew is about a third of the length, character-wise, as English. But Yiddish is probably about 25% to 30% longer than English. So I would think then that the English works would take up less printed paper than than the Yiddish ones. But this seems to be a very big tome. So if you could elaborate on that then.
Well, actually, part of the things we did here at our layout, our people did an amazing job. Itchy Turner, as they mentioned, he spent hours balancing the column size, where the Yiddish, as I said, Yiddish is longer than Hebrew, but not as long as the English. Plus, in English, as I said before, we've got to not only translate, we've got to explain and teach. So the length of the English column is about two or three times the length of the Hebrew column. And each page, actually, you have to balance it out so it doesn't look like totally unbalanced one page to another, but each page is a slight variance in the column size. The layout people did an amazing job here making the work look nice. You could read it and like, oh, it doesn't, yeah, the Hebrew and English are balanced. Mm-hmm. How could that be? I just said, so the English is longer, is much longer. Oh, well, I thank those layout guys. And that's a major point. You know, one of the things we worked very hard on this so that the layout would be user-friendly. You know, the Hebrew, the interpolated additions to the English translation, it's not just translation, it's a teaching. To get it right, like a lot of our previous works, we use brackets. You know, it's because we want to let people see what was the Rebbe said and what was just added, because I think that's important to see what the Rebbe's word is and what the translator's words are. But you also wanted to read simply and comfortably. So use these brackets, and the readers kept saying that the brackets are confusing, and they are. But wanted to make that distinction. So here we use bold and non-bold, and the text reads and flows gently, pleasantly. You know, the Rebbe guys just did an amazing job.
Yes, it is. It's a beautiful work. I have a couple more questions about the layout and it. There are 39 volumes existent of Likutei Sichos. Were you to translate all 39 volumes in the setup that it is now in this volume, which is Volume 1, how many volumes do you think it would take, Eli Tauger? Approximately.
About 150 easily.
How many?
150. Easily.
150. That's a lot of shelf space.
Easily. No, we're not taking all 39 volumes. We pick three sichos from each chapter, from each parsha, which are representative, powerful insights, things that speak to the shama, at the same time speak to the mind. And this unique ability of, you know, on one hand, that I was sparked in the shama, on the other hand, he spoke intellectually. That was powerful. And we took three sichos from each parsha, which were representative of that for us.
Mm-hmm.
So on one hand, it's an external message. On the other hand, it teaches me something, an idea as well.
So even though this is Likutei Sichos Volume 1, it's not taken from Volume Aleph of Likutei Sichos necessarily.
Correct. It's, like I said, we selected three parshas, three sichos from each parsha, from all the 39 volumes, so that we give it There's no real way. I mean, a lot of the other thesis are tremendously in-depth studies, and each one is a subject, is a treatise in its own right. In order to give something which let people have a sample of whether it would work, you just pick. You had to make this selection. And the process selection goes back. You know, every week it takes about an hour, especially six people online messaging back and forth before we begin to pick which three CFs we do. You know, it's part of the staff process that goes into this.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Okay, let me tell you a story, and you can comment on it. When I first went to yeshiva, you and I went to the same yeshiva. You were ahead of me by, I think, a couple years. I went in the beginning of 1976 is when I first showed up in Rabbinical College of America in Morristown. And they had a system whereby an older student would kind of be like the mentor to a younger student. And they would like learn things with them and kind of tell them things like, you know, put your hat on straight, that kind of stuff. And I was learning at that time after the regular normal course of the, we called it the Seder, the day. I would sit down and I would learn. I was learning at that time with Moshe Traxler, who is now a Chabad representative in Houston, Texas. And
Moshe and I had a connection. I was his first achievement.
Uh-huh. Okay. So he's a very good guy. I love him to bits.
Special guy.
Yes. And so he at one point he asked me, we've like been learning, and the way it was is that he would say, Farshtandik means understood. Vet means will be. And it was like one by one by one. And my first volume of Likutei Sichos is basically black with the graphite from the pencils, writing in all the words so that I can eventually edit. And I did that probably for like 2 years before I could actually stop using the pencil. But at one time he asked me, he said, what's your goal in learning with me? Which is an interesting question. I thought, and I said, well, I want to be able to sit back and read a sicha like you would a story. And he looked at me straight in the eye and said, you will never be able to do that. And it kind of like, I had to think for a while and went, oh yeah, this is not storybook time. This is not grab a cup of tea and kick back in the lounge chair. So in other words, the words of the Rebbe were there to be studied. So I'm looking here now and wondering the way in which this is presented. Can a person just kick back with a cup of tea in your new volume of Likutei Sichos, Eli Tauger? Is this something which still demands, even though it's in English and it's done very well and presented in a very easy way to understand it, that it still demands to be studied, or both, or a combination thereof?
First of all, it depends on the sicha. You told me a story, I'll tell you a brief Hasidic word. They asked the Katzker Rebbe, why don't you write a sefer? He says, I don't want a chassid and lie down on the couch after the chill, don't on Shabbos day, and maybe met with me. And they use a little bit more graphic language.
Mm-hmm.
And that's and I, to a certain extent, write my books to make that as easy as possible. In other words, yes, it's got to be studied, but you know something? People don't like to study.
Okay.
On one hand, you've got to give people something that speaks to them, so that they can read. On the other hand, and you want to go tell them to go deeper. That's what I want to do here. I want them to read this. So, oh, read it. Sounds good. It's interesting. You know, I can sit back and read it comfortably. I love you. Hey, wait, there's something deeper there. The Rebbe said something that requires real thought. And then you get up from the couch and sit down at the table and think it over. That's what I'd like to do.
Okay.
And on the one hand, you can just say it as a vort. No, you sit in the Sabbath, like you said before, you sit in the Sabbath, dish, distill a vort, give over something so the person could read through when he sees us, hopefully, he's got a vort for a Shabbos dish. Beautiful. No, it's much deeper than a word for Shabbos Kish. It really requires deep thought. And so I want to get both stages.
Okay. So let me ask you then, when a person works in an author, a translator is working on a work, at some point, I don't know if it's at the beginning, since I've never authored a book and I have never translated a book, But I have done a lot of writing. When a person, what's your image? When a person has completed reading that which you've worked on, and that person is going to say, I was impressed with this work because it. Could you fill in the blank, please? Well, in other words, what are you trying to accomplish with when a person went out, they bought the book, Likutei Sichos, Breishis, selections from the Likutei Sichos, Insights of the Weekly Parsha by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Kahut Publication, Sichos in English, translated by Eliyahu Tagar. Okay, what do you want people to walk away with when they've closed the book?
It spoke to my soul. My soul is on fire, but it's not just intellectual experience. My mind is working in a whole different framework than it did before.
That's a very impressive goal, Eli Tauger. Do you think, personally, in your humble opinion, that you're able to achieve that which the Rebbe was trying to convey, and you conveyed it to now the English-speaking public?
That is Chabad from the very beginning. A fusion with the Baal Shem Tov Stola, which lit souls on fire, with the Alter Rebbe's influx of Chochma, Bina, and Das, wisdom, intellect, and understanding. The Rebbe was the Mamshich of both, the Baal Shem Tov and the Alter Rebbe. And our humble effort, best as we can, is to put that in English.
Okay, cool. I think you did a crackerjack job with this. This is really great. This is volume one. It's Breishis. Are there going to be five volumes, one for each book of the five books of Moses?
There's going to be definitely five, and hopefully six or seven, because we'll then go to
the holiday ones. Yes.
And then there's going to be a second round, because yesterday we were debating which sikhs to do. We're already working on volume two, so we were debating which sikhs to do for Yisrael. And we've had 15 sikhs that are absolutely important, 10 which are real musts. We've got to get to three.
Mm-hmm. Which one
so
do you cut out?
So we're expecting a second round after that.
Uh-huh. Okay. So this is going to take up a whole shelf when you guys are done. That's really cool. I'm very impressed. That's all they have time for in this segment. Again, the book is called Me'oitres Likutei Sichos, Selections from Likutei Sichos, Insights into the Weekly Portion of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. This is from the first book, Breishis Genesis. It is Kahut Publishing, available Kahut online or wherever else you get Jewish books. Eli Tauger, thank you so much for sharing insights and making us understand, allowing us to understand how this book really works.
Shabbos, best
to
you. Hope you enjoy it.
Okay, we will.
The Nazis are very powerful.
Indeed. Jesus. We will reserve the right to call you back when volume two comes out.
Okay.
Thank you. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herr Schulfman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. Up for your listening pleasure, this is Uri Davidi, Hatfila Shali, my prayer.
Ani omed bayom hazeh Lo yodea ma mechakeh Ki haderech hi chadasha Pachad yesh bi gam tikva Limarom ani mistakel Behashem ani shoel
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's a symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Harry Schulfinman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. Up next, this is a really cute song. I had to really dig deep to find this one. It's a klezmer song because it's the klezmer part of the show. The song is called Klezmer Blues because I was looking for something. And it's not very bluesy. The group is called The Goyim, which I think maybe means the non-Jews, but they did a good job. Let's listen.
Some things are better the way they used to be, like the crisp feel of a cool autumn day, the serenity of a baby sleeping, or the feeling of coming home after a long trip. Franklin Cider Mills makes cider the way cider is supposed to be. Its old-fashioned, clear, crisp taste reminds you of a cool autumn day. Located in the heart of historic Franklin Village at 14 Mile and Franklin Road, Franklin Cider Mill has been making cider the same way for over a century. Always fresh, with no additives or preservatives. You just can't buy Franklin Cider in any supermarket. Franklin Cider Mill is open from Labor Day weekend to after Thanksgiving from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come visit Franklin Cider Mill. It's kind of like coming home.
Hey, Schulfinman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Last month to get Franklin Cider. Once November's over, no more, unless you do like we do in the Finn family, is we go periodically and we buy more than we need and we stick in the freezer. And it's actually a big thing to eat latkes. And during Hanukkah, the end of December, and we take one out, big gallon, and let it defrost. And it's like it just was just made. It's wonderful stuff. I definitely recommend. Two thumbs up. If I had three hands with three thumbs, I'd put three thumbs up. Franklin Cider. Up next, for your listening pleasure, this is Schlock Rock. Can't Stop the Prayin'.
much feeling, it's on my arm. My thoughts are heavenly when I put them on. I got my feeling, it's on my head. My mind absorbed me to the omnipresent God. I got four partial on the parchment. Say the blessings diligently. I'm connecting to the maker. I won't stop. Ooh. I'm acknowledging above me, cause it's part of my legacy. Can you focus? God's my rock. God's the top. The Israelites, when they chose, we were at Sinai. Now everyone knows we will do. Spiritual, it's very clear. Souls in my blood, the praying's on. We know the reason we're in control. Our prayers soar, we're feeling that we're in the zone. I got four partial on the parchment. Say the blessings diligently. I'm connecting to the maker. I won't stop. Ooh. I'm acknowledging above me, cause it's part of my legacy. Can you focus? God's my rock. God's the top. The Israelite. Shows. We were at Sinai, now everyone knows. We will do, then we will hear was our pose. It's majestic. Anytime we pray as Jews, we enhance, hands, hands, hands. Do good deeds is what we do. Take the chance, chance, chance. Come on. You know what we need to do. Like a trance, trance, trance. And that's the way we live right now, so keep praying.
We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and Methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community, and Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813. Or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com. Harry Schulfinman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. This week is the portion of Lech Lecha, Genesis 12 and further. There was a book written by the Lubavitcher Rebbe in 1943. It's called Hayom Yom, which means today's day. And it was every single day, well, there was a little paragraph that people were supposed to read. This is what's supposed to be like the message for the day. They have lots and lots of these. They have calendars that you can buy that have these little things on them. Statements for the day and every kind, every theme and every whatever. So he did one of these in 1943. For the third day of the month of Mar Cheshvan, which at that time was in the middle of the portion of Lech Lecha. This happened to be the last week in this year, but then that year it worked out that it was in the middle. The Rebbe said something very interesting. He said that the first portion, Genesis, which talks about the creation, is a very lively, happy portion, but it ends on a bad note. It ends with the need to make a flood. The second portion, last week's portion, Noah, was not such a happy portion. He had the flood, but it ended on a good note with the birth of Abraham. The really true first lively portion is the portion of Lech Lecha, and he describes the Rebbe qualifies because we're living with the self-sacrifice of Abraham. Now, this statement is exactly opposite if you were listening a couple of minutes ago when we played a song called Klezmer Blues, and it really wasn't very bluesy. I would have called that a Klezmer March. Would you agree with me, Tony, that was more a march than a blues song, would you think? Yeah, it was not. I wouldn't call that blues, but they called it blues. So here the Rebbe, thank you, Tony. Here the Rebbe is saying this is a very lively portion because we're living with Abraham's self-sacrifice. What are we talking about? He got thrown into a furnace. He walked out. He immediately was told, listen, we think you should get out. And he goes to a land that God told them to go to, and there's a famine. There's nothing to eat. So he goes down to Egypt, and his wife gets abducted. But he manages to get out of that, and he comes back, and then there's a whole fight between his shepherds and his nephew's shepherds. They have to separate. And then there's basically the World War I, but it breaks out. Four kings versus five kings. Lot gets captured. Abraham has to go capture Lot. Then there's a whole thing with being promised, okay, you get to be the Jewish people. There's a whole thing involving a slave girl, Hagar, who eventually gave birth to the slave boy, Ishmael, who's the father of the Arabs. And it's at the end of the portion, he's told, oh, by the way, you're 99 years old. We want you to circumcise yourself, not somebody else. You're going to do it yourself. This you call happy? It's a paraphrase on what my mother would say, something, I shouldn't be so happy if that's happy. And But the Rebbe's a lot smarter than me. But that's not a statement that even needs to be said. There's like even no reason to say such a thing. How smart the Rebbe was. But he said, so look, what happened from Abraham's self-sacrifice, going through that, 7 of the 10 tests Abraham's life appear in this week's portion. Because Abraham went through that. He survived the aftermath of the flood, for all intents and purposes. What happened? He merited that his children shouldn't have it so hard when they had to approach their Judaism with self-sacrifice. Yes, there have been martyrs throughout the ages, culminating the ultimate martyrdom with 6 million during the Holocaust. And martyrdom is no fun. I don't recommend it at home, folks. But Abraham was a trailblazer. He was the one who made it possible. The way to say martyr in Hebrew is a kadosh, which means a holy one. That because of Abraham's actions, Jews are able to achieve holiness. Doesn't mean that they have to get killed. What it means is that they're able to elevate themselves from the mundane. And that takes self-sacrifice. I love my physical pleasures, I hear everybody say. People don't want to get, and to give up a physical pleasure requires self-sacrifice. And it takes an even greater self-sacrifice if we use that physical pleasure to make it holy and propel that into holy. Take it with you. But Abraham made it easy for us. And therefore, this is a happy parsha. Unhappy is that we have to take a quick commercial break and we're running out of time. Don't go away. We have the Hasidic story coming up next. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Hey, Schulfinman, here you're listening to the Jewish Hour. Before anything else, I should have done this before. We got a book from a publisher. This is Toby Press. The book is called Palestine Posts. This is an amazing book, an eyewitness account of the birth of Israel based on the letters of Mordechai, I'm going to say his name was Chertov. It could be Chertov if that's how you pronounce it, but I did know some Chertovs growing up. And it's like his diary. He's like writing to people. He's in the middle of a war zone and describing each inch that they took. This is a great book. I recommend it wholly. Again, it's called Palestine Posts. The letters of Mordechai Chertoff is done as transcribed by his son, Daniel. Toby Press, great read. Like to get in touch with me? Way to do that. RabbiFinman.com. Go there, contact me. You'll also find editions of the show for going years back and the archived editions of the Uparsha, Eparsha, Hasidic U Story, classes, and the donations page. We still have to pay for the Jewish Hour, and we need you to help pay for it. We have the sponsors. Yeah, that pays a little bit. Broadcasting is expensive, and we've been doing this for 24 years, and we're almost up to, in March, it'll be 25 years we'll be doing this, a silver anniversary. We should do something, start planning for it. I'll have to talk to Hanif Edman, the co-producer of the show. What we're going to do for our 25th anniversary. If you have any ideas, drop me a note at rabbifinman.com. But in the meantime, go to the computer, go to rabbifinman.com, go to the donations page, click on the and number of your choice, write your own number in, PayPal, all very safe, secure. Make it a monthly donation. Make it $5 a month. That's $60 a year. That's great. Or drop your donation of any denomination into a proper mailing receptacle. Put the proper postage in the proper place and mail it to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Oak Park, Michigan, 48222.